So today at church, if you went there, we did something a little bit different. And instead of me talking for a long time, we had more time to actually discuss Acts 10 and 11. So I'm going to share with you some of the questions that we discussed, and you might like to, in your own time, think about these questions, maybe write down your responses, and reflect on Acts 10 and 11 for yourself. Acts 10 and 11 discuss a pivotal moment in the early church that changed their understanding of God and God's mission. And it's a surprising story. I mean, it begins with a Roman who fears Yahweh, who wants to worship Yahweh. And then we see Yahweh reaching out to that Roman. So I want you to spend some time reading to yourself Acts 10, verses 1 to 8. And then reflect on this question. Do you think God is still at work in people's lives outside the church? Is God still at work in people's lives outside the church? Just like God was at work in Cornelius's life. And if you do, how does that shape how you might speak to others about Jesus? How might that shape the way that you speak to others about Jesus? It's not only Cornelius who has a vision from God. The second part of the story, we see Peter also has a vision from God, a crazy vision where he sees all kinds of animals coming down on a large sheet and God tells him to kill and eat. Now this goes against the Torah, which gives very clear instructions from God about what animals the Jews were to eat, what was clean and what was unclean. But God now declares he has made them all clean. You might want to read Acts 10, 9-23 for yourself. And then think about, have you ever had an experience when you believe God has called you to change your mind, whether it's on a belief or a practice? Have you had that experience when God has called you to change your mind? And how do you know that's from God? How do you discern what's from God or what's not? What can be changed, or are there things or beliefs that shouldn't be changed? And as you think about that, again, I want you to think about, well, if you have had an experience where you have changed your mind and you believe it's from God, how does that experience shape the way you might speak to others about Jesus? Does it change the way that you might talk to them about Jesus? Let me read Acts 10, picking it up from verse 23. The next day, Peter started out with them. He's going to Cornelius's house, and some of the brothers and sisters from Joppa went along. The following day, he arrived in Caesarea. Cornelius was expecting them and had called together his relatives and close friends. As Peter entered the house, Cornelius met him and fell at his feet in reverence. But Peter made him get up. "Stand up," he said, "I am only a man myself." Talking with him, Peter went inside and found a large gathering of people. He said to them, "You are well aware that it is against our law for a Jew to associate with a Gentile or visit him. But God has shown me that I should not call any person impure or unclean. So when I was sent for, I came without raising any objection. May I ask why you sent for me?" And as Peter hears the story of God speaking to Cornelius, it just reiterates to Peter what God is trying to teach in here. And he says it in verse 34. He says, "I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism. The gospel is even for the Romans." And as Peter's beliefs begin to change and expand, that belief is expressed in how he acts. He enters a Roman's home. He enters a Gentile's home. We'll see later that he's prepared to eat with them. Hospitality played a crucial role in the early church, and it was kind of radical who the disciples of Jesus ate with. It said a lot, actually, about the gospel. And also, I think gathering together and having a meal often allows us to have really rich conversations, opportunities to speak about Jesus. We're going to reflect on a moment on what hospitality might look like today, but I want to share one story that I've been so encouraged to hear around hospitality that's happening in our church. Jess has been sharing with me how she has spent time creating a fire pit, but not in her backyard just for her own enjoyment. She has really deliberately decided that she wanted to set it up in her front yard so she can connect with her neighbors. She wants it to be a place so people can gather, where they can eat marshmallows and enjoy the fire in winter. And her hope and prayer is that this will open up opportunities to have deeper conversations with their neighbors, to kind of get beyond just, you know, the general chit chat and actually talk about some of the really deep stuff in life, to talk about faith. So I want you to think about, what does hospitality look like for you? And how does the practice of hospitality shape the way we speak to others about Jesus? Now, while all this is quite wonderful, there is kind of a backlash against Peter. Like, it is a really big change amongst a lot of people. And so there's a lot of criticism about what Peter has been doing. You know, when Peter goes back to Jerusalem, it says the circumcised believers criticized him and said, "You went into the house of uncircumcised men and ate with them." They're kind of really shocked. And so Peter has to explain his actions. And you can tell this is a pivotal point because there's a lot of repetition. Like, chapter 11 basically repeats what we've just read in chapter 10, but it's such a crucial moment as Peter explains really clearly how the Holy Spirit has been present in this. You know, that God has made it really obvious that the Gentiles are open to receiving the gospel. And so he shares this story, he shares what he has seen, and he concludes by saying, "So if God gave them the same gift he gave us, who believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who am I to think that I could oppose God?" God clearly initiates and is involved in this shift, that this good news of Jesus is open for everyone, including uncircumcised Gentiles, including the Romans who have been oppressing the Jews. So the last questions I want us to reflect on today is around exclusion. Who's in danger of being excluded today from hearing about Jesus? Are there people that we might intentionally or maybe not always deliberately exclude, that we don't think would want to hear about Jesus, or we maybe there's no Christians ministering or in that space talking to them? Who's in danger of being excluded today from hearing about Jesus? And is there things we might need to change when it comes to who we speak to? I really encourage you to keep reading Acts 10 and 11 in your own time. And as you do, to pray that God's Spirit might be really guiding you and changing you and changing us as a community to be a people who have this passion to want to, as the opportunity comes up, talk to others about Jesus and to join where God is at work in their lives. Maybe you can spend some time praying, even just right now.